That's what we're doing this morning. We're just learning to lean on Jesus. Amen. All right, let's get our Bibles now. Everybody get settled down, get your seat, be still, and open your Bibles to Psalm 104. Psalm 104 this morning. I hope you'll feel like you've been to church this morning before you leave here. Been blessed by the singing and challenged by the preaching of the Word of God. The Bible's the most amazing book in the world. It'll bless you and it'll blister you, whichever one you need. Sometimes do it both in the same service. And I thank God for His Word this morning. I'll read you a verse of Scripture here. I want all you young people especially listen to it. Little kids coming up. It'll be good for all of us mamas and daddies to get in our hearts this morning. Sometimes we're guilty of limiting God in our minds, and we kind of make a little box in our imagination of God, and that's as far as we'll let God be God. But you can't even imagine how big and wonderful that God is. Look at Psalm 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Now, boy, you think about that right there in the middle of that verse. He said, Lord, Thou art very great. Very great. Now, I want to preach to you this morning for just a few minutes on the subject, how great is God? You know, when we was little, I guess a lot of kids learned the prayer, God is great. God is good. And many times you just say this over and over and over until you get in a habit of it. And you forget to begin to think about really how great God is. God is great this morning. He's great. He's much greater than I can describe Him. I feel very, very inadequate trying to describe to you how great God is. I tried to think of it this morning, last night, over there in my office praying a while ago. I'm just letting my mind go and imagining God. Now I want to say, y'all going to have to help me now. Everybody, settle down. Real quiet. Okay? I want to say a few things this morning about how great God is. And the first thing I want to say is, you think about this now. The first thing I want to say is, God is great enough to create heaven and earth. He made the heaven and the earth. People's always looking at buildings, you know, or the skyscrapers and things, and say, look what we made. And, you know, when you fly over them things in an airplane, they don't look that big. They're nothing. You think about the earth. This earth is something else, you know it? It's just hanging out on nothing in midair. And according to the Bible, God made it. God made. He's great enough to create. And everything man makes, He just takes something that's already here and makes something out of it. God created the world out of nothing. He spoke, and there it was. Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Bible said in Psalm 33 and verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Isn't that something? Now, if you think about this, you think about, let's say, I've always been fascinated by a scale. When I used to see, even in school, I'd see the world here and Mars and all the planets and Jupiter and Neptune and Pluto and all of them. Then I'd see the sun, and I'd start comparing. I'd say, my goodness, look how far it is from there to there. Look how far it is from there. Then you'd see all the galaxies out there, and other galaxies and things like that. And I got thinking about that, how that God just made all that with a word. Hey, you think about the God that we're here, the God that this building is built in honor of, the God that this choir was singing about, the God that this family was singing about, is the God that hung the stars in the planets out there in space and made it stay there. What a blessing. Thinking about that this morning, I want to show you just a little illustration. Everybody get you a page of your Bible and hold it between your fingers like that. Just pick up one page of your Bible and hold it between those your thumb and your first finger. That's like I'm doing here, holding it there. Now you can feel how thick that page is. Now, hold it there in your fingers just a second while I give you this illustration. You can compare this to the distance between the earth and the sun. 93 million miles. That little distance between your thumb and your finger there, that page, you compare the thickness of that page to the distance between here and the sun. 93 million We've got it on scale now. The distance of the thickness of that paper is 93 million miles. 93 million miles ain't no hop and skip, brother. I mean, that's a long way. 93 million miles. Got it in your head? 93 million. 93 million. Have you got that in your head? That's how far it is, the thickness of that page. On that scale, the distance between here and the nearest star that God made, our next door neighbor, the nearest star beside the sun, is 71 foot thick of paper. 71 feet thick of paper. 93 million miles is from there to there. 71 feet, that's from here to that back door back there. About from maybe here to that back door back there, almost. That's how far the nearest star is. Not the furthest one. The next door neighbor, man. That far is 93 million miles. How far do you think it'd be from here to that back door back there? That's a blessing. That's our God. You think God isn't great? You think God don't know what's going on? You think God don't ain't able to help you pay your light bill when He's able to put our next door neighbor 71 feet thick of paper from here? You think about that. Do you realize they say that the diameter of the galaxy on that scale, the diameter of our galaxy would be 310 miles of paper? Here, as far as from here to the border of Georgia, it's 225 miles, 40 from here to Atlanta. Way on the other side of Atlanta, almost to the Georgia state line, thick of paper would be the diameter of our galaxy. That's just our galaxy. And they say to the edge of the universe would be 31 million miles thick of paper to the edge of this universe. That's the same God that wrote this book here and that I'm preaching about and that made the world and the stars and the planets. That's why I tell these young people, never hang your head in shame and be ashamed of serving God. He's greater than any hero this world ever came up with. He's great enough to create the heaven and the earth. Yeah, I know we got a lot of people deny that. I've witnessed people say, oh, you don't believe that. There is no... One of those Russian astronauts went up in a space capsule several years ago. And that he went up in that space capsule, went out in outer space. And he looked around and didn't see God. And so he come back and told everybody there was no God. They said, there ain't no God. I looked all over while I was up there, and I didn't see Him. All He's doing is just floating around the world a few times. He wasn't even started, man, where I've been talking about this morning. And they said, I went around the world in that thing, and I didn't see God. And there ain't no God. And somebody said, you jump out of that thing if you want to find out if there's a God or not. And that's what he should have done, probably. But I tell you, brother, there is a God, and He's there. You do realize that the nearest galaxy from here is 1,500,000 light years away. You know how far that is? If you took all the paperback books printed in the United States in 1 year, not all the copies, but all the different books, 65,000 books. If you took 65,000 books, took one letter, the first, for example, the, you put the T here, you go a mile, you put the H. You go a mile, you put the E. There's the E. If you want the title of that book and every word in that book of 65,000 books, you would not reach the nearest galaxy after putting all those letters one by one a mile apart. That's a long way. That's our God. That's our God. Brother, if you think the sky's the limit, you have no imagination whatsoever. Do you realize that God made the heaven and the earth? I like somebody said that. They saw a cartoon or something sometime. And it was all these scientists. And they invented the great computer that had the answers of all man's questions. And they said, this computer can answer anything, past, present, or future. Now, finally, for the first time, mankind shall have the answers of all of his problems. So, that was on national TV, worldwide satellite. The great scientists of all the world met together. And they said, ladies and gentlemen, this is a history-making event. For the first time in the history of man, we'll know for sure how the great question that man has is, how did it all get started? Where did it come from? Men have wrestled this question in their minds for years. Scientists and philosophers and theologians have debated for thousands of years. Where did the world come from? And now, for the first time, The giant computer will answer our question. So they typed it in, you know, carefully typed, where did the world come from? They fed the information into the great computer. In a few minutes, it began to shake. And it began to rattle like that. Lights started flashing off and on. A little smoke started coming out here and there. And the big computer started figuring and racking its brain. All of a sudden, it started spitting out information. The world held their breath. And it started going... Finally, ladies and gentlemen, the great computer has given us the answer. Where did the world come from? How did it all get started? They opened up the answer and said, see Genesis 1:1. Amen. I tell you what, brother, that's the way it'd be. I tell you, we knew it a long time before there was a computer. The Bible said that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He didn't make it out of something that was already made. He made it out of something, or out of nothing, and made something into nothing. That's how great God is this morning. You know what? He made the creation just like He wanted it. They say that there's these certain kind of leaf bugs down in South America. And they call them leaf bugs. They live on these leaves. And them bugs live on them leaves, long skinny leaves like this. And their legs, their hind legs, are shaped exactly like that leaf. Exactly. And they stay on there, you know, so big things won't come and get them, eat them up. And they say, how that? Now, you know what they try to tell you in school? You know what they try to tell you in universities? They tell you that them bugs used to be shaped different. But somehow or another, they was all getting eat up. And they got together and they said, now, I tell you what, we're going to have to do something about this, or we're going to be extinct. Our kids, I tell you what, let's do. Let's start having baby bugs whose legs are shaped like these leaves here. So, and little by little, their legs started getting more and more shaped like them leaves are, and they adapted to their natural habitat. And they've done that all by themselves. You know what that is, brother? There's a Greek word that fits that. It is the Greek word bull. There ain't no such thing as that. That's ridiculous. Bugs cannot change the shape of their legs. My soul, man. Are you brain dead? There ain't no way. Bugs can't even think like that. Far big time advanced human beings can't change the shape of their legs. If you could invent something to help people change the shape of their legs, you'd be a millionaire by tomorrow. Richard Simmons been trying to do it. He can't even do nothing with his. Looks like a girl. Amen. I'm telling you, them bugs can't change their legs. They can't do it. There's a certain kind of bird that lays eggs, lives high up in the cliffs, don't build nests, lays flat eggs, man. Lays flat eggs. You tell me how that happened. You think them birds got together one day and they said, I tell you what, we're losing so many eggs here. These things are rolling off and busting and all our little kids are getting killed. We're going to have to flatten these babies out a little bit and start, you know, when they have one, just make it flat. No, that's ridiculous. That's crazy, brother. You know what we call that? We call that imparted wisdom from God Almighty that He put in them. Thank God this morning our God made heaven. Our God made the earth. He's great enough to do all of that. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve today. Well, I wish you, last night we had a prayer meeting. Listen, there was over 60 people at prayer meeting here last night. 60 people at prayer meeting on Saturday night. Unbelievable. We wound up having a big service over here and singing, giving testimonies, having a good time in the Lord. You say, what does that, preacher? It's that big God I've been preaching about this morning, stirring down in somebody's soul, that makes teenagers want to come to church on Saturday night when you ain't even having a service and get together. There's something bigger than you and me working here. There's something bigger than me and you working in this church. There's something bigger than me and you working in me, in my heart. There's something bigger. You can feel it. You know He's there. He's great enough. He's great enough to create heaven and the earth. But let me say secondly this morning, how great is God? God is great enough to answer our prayers. Do you know that? God is great enough to answer our prayer. I have people tell, I say sometimes they'll say something like, well, Brother Danny, is your prayers always answered? And of course the answer is no. They're not yet. That don't mean they ain't going to be. I want to tell you one thing this morning. I have seen enough of my prayers answered to make me believe that God answers prayer and to make me keep on praying. All the seed I sow in my yard in the spring, grass seed, don't come up. But I've seen enough grace shoot out of that ground to make me believe and sow in grace that some of it's going to come up. God may not always answer our prayers when, how, and in what way we think He wants us to, we want Him to. But don't let that make you doubt one minute that God's not concerned and God can't do it. People say, well, I prayed and prayed and nothing happened. Oh, don't worry about it, man. God does answer prayer. He's still on the throne. If He hadn't answered it, He has a reason for it. And He's trying to teach us something, and He knows what's best for us. What if God did answer everybody's prayers? Everything everybody said. Well, that's crazy. That's unthinkable. Some praying for it to snow. Some praying for it to rain. Some praying for it to clear up. Some praying for this to happen. Some, you know, if God answered all of our prayers, wouldn't nobody never die? Every time one of their loved ones gets sick, oh God, please let him live. I mean, you know, they got to die sometime. We're praying, praying, praying. God don't let nobody die. And I think that's all right, but you know, He can't answer all them prayers. You got to go out sometime or another. Instead of trying to pray the lost out of hell, we're trying to pray the saved out of heaven. We're praying all the Christians would keep on living. You've got to go sometime, and God don't always answer our prayer. I'll tell you what He does. He answers our prayers enough to know we can still keep on believing and praying. This talking about Brother J.D. Ward the other day. It was his birthday last week. And I'll never forget the night J.D. got saved up there in the old building. Lord, have mercy, if that wasn't an answer to prayer, I'd went and visited him on visitation that week, that Monday. Sat down there, and that's when God got it. That's why paying somebody a personal visit like that's so important. Sometimes God will put that conviction on them and settle in. They can't get away from it. I prayed all that evening, that Sunday evening. I didn't even know he was going to be there. I went up in the prayer room. I said, boys, pray for that old J.D. Ward. Pray that God will get a hold of him. That night I opened the Bible and preached on Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? God's Spirit moved in that place in a powerful way. He come walking down the aisle, got saved on the altar on this side. And he's in heaven this morning, cheering us on. He's down there saying, Danny, up there saying, Danny, is that the best you can do? Come on, man, holler, scream, holler, stomp your feet, jump up and down. Tell them it's real. Tell them God answers prayers. Tell them He's alive. Hey, we have a God this morning that's great enough to answer our prayers. Well, I'll tell you, it works. It works. Let me say thirdly, I'm going to hurry. God is great enough to write a perfect book. I believe this morning, we believe here at our church that we possess a perfect book. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. It's the King James Authorized Version of the English-speaking people. There's no doubt God's hand and God's blessing is on this book. Listen, every new version of the Bible that comes off the press always compares it to that book. Wonder why that is. Wonder why, in spite of all the Madison Avenue push and all the endorsements of the TV preachers and of all the push, it's still the greatest book. It's still the most revered book. It's still the most honored book. Listen, there's something different about this book right here. It's God's book. It's God's book. And God's great enough to write a perfect book. People say, oh, just men wrote the Bible. You got it wrong. God wrote the Bible using men's hands. The Holy Ghost took a hold of the head and the heart and the hand of those men. And the Scriptures were given by inspiration. That means God breathed them. It was God inspiring the man and man writing down what God said. And the Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. There is no way in this world that this book could have survived had not God's hand been on it. Listen, there's never been an error proved in this book. They've took it to court. You can't do it. You know how I know the Bible's true? Because it predicts the future and gets it right. You know how I know the Bible's true? Because when I read it and believe it, something starts jumping inside me and it relates to that spirit that God put in me when I got saved. You know how I know the Bible's true? Because it's always got just what you need. I don't care where you're reading. I ain't talking about just jumping around. In your daily Bible reading, if you ever notice, if you need something in your daily Bible reading, you'll come across, well, there it is. There's what I need. You know, we got a great, wonderful church, but we got problems in our church. We got people in our church that's messed up. And don't always judge the church by what one or two does. You make a stupid mistake if you do that. But you know what? We got a problem in our church. In my daily Bible reading, I'll come across it and it'll hit it right on the head.
He'll tell me how to look at it, how to view it, how to handle it. That's something about that book, brother. This book is different from every other book. This book is the only book in the world. Hey, tell me another book where thousands of people gather every Sunday just to listen to somebody talk about it and worship around it and read it through every year and always finding something different. It's the book, brother. It's the book. You say, well, I tell you what, preacher, I like my NIV. If you want to have a third-rate Bible, that's your business. If you want to have a Bible that says El Hanan killed the giant, that's your business. If you want to have a Bible that lays out the plan of salvation in Acts 8:37, that's your business. Personally, I want one that's got the whole Bible in it. I want one that'll get the job done. I want one that'll read like a Bible. Somebody said, well, the Bible should read like a newspaper. No, it shouldn't. It ought to read like a Bible. Amen? It ought to be noble. It ought to be lofty. It ought to be great. It ought to be higher than what our normal street gutter language is. Great enough to write a perfect book. Let me say also this morning, number four, he's great enough to defeat the devil. We're living in a time when the devil's getting a lot of publicity. We're living in a time when a lot of people are saying, whoa, you better watch out, man. These people are Satanists. These people are all of this. And I know they are. There's a lot of covens and there's a lot of satanic churches and there's a lot of things. Up there in Kentucky, where Brother Robbie's coming from, there's a satanic church right there in town. There's up here, down here around Charlotte, places like that. Even right around McDowell County, there's a lot more witchcraft and activity than you might think. I got news for you this morning, buddy. I know I'm just a little guy here, ain't nothing, never have been, never will be. But I tell you something, I've got a God this morning that's great enough to defeat that crowd. God, you don't have to worry about God. People say, oh no, God's going out of business. No, He's not even close. He's not even strained. God ain't walking back and forth in heaven taking aspirins and Tylenol wondering what in the world He's going to do. Rather, He knew the end from the beginning. God in His wisdom saw what would happen before it ever took place. God has more power. He has all power. The devil has limited power. He has all ability. The devil has limited ability. The devil can't do nothing unless God allows it. He's great enough to defeat the devil. I like that scripture where the Lord come up from the dead. He come up, boy, and he said, I got the keys of death and hell. See, the devil don't even have the keys to his own house. Amen. Ain't that a trip, man? I mean, the Lord's got him just shaking at it. I'm over this thing. By the way, the only reason a man goes to hell is because the man chooses to go there. His grace is sufficient to save everybody in the world. He died for all men. He's the propitiation for our sin. Not for ours only, but for the whole world. People say, well, there's so many people lost going to hell. God must be weak. No, He's not. He's got enough grace, brother, to save everybody. He's more powerful than the devil. Amen? Hey, listen, don't ever be intimidated by people. People say, oh boy, this man's demon-possessed. Well, we're Holy Ghost-possessed. So what? Holy Ghost is more powerful than any demon in this world. Amen, brother. Amen. You want it? Young people want power. I tell you how to have power. Live for God, brother. Live for God. I've had people tell me. They say, boy, when I'm around you, I feel nervous. You know why, buddy? It's because of that fist right there. It ain't, is it? It ain't. That ain't it. I'm pretty easy to get along with, tell you the truth. I don't like to argue with nobody. But what it is, it's what we represent. It's what we stand for. It's a God around us. People say, my son's scared of you, Brother Danny. I say, why? I don't know. He just, boy, when you come around, he straightens up. You know what it is? He's getting confused there. It's what I represent. It's God. God's greater than the devil. You know what I believe? I believe a man of God we're around a witch. They try to bluff you, but I'll bet you the witch feels a lot more uncomfortable than the man of God does. The truth is known. Lastly, God is great enough to save a lost sinner. Church cannot save. Membership in secret organizations cannot save. Your good works will never get you to heaven. Rehabilitation, AA, drug rehab, prison, religious experience, none of that stuff will save your soul. Well, I've heard people say, Brother Danny, I talk to people a lot of times and I say, Boy, you need to get right with the Lord. And they'll say, I know what I need to straighten up and start coming to church. And I know what they mean. But what they don't understand is that God's who saves your soul. God's great enough to save a lost sinner. As I look across this congregation this morning, I can see story after story after story. Each one different, but each one having the same happy ending. I can see Brother Danny over there, who got up here and testified the other Sunday morning, how that his life was wrecked in sin, on drugs. He's going to some festival up in Virginia or somewhere. When he's hitchhiking through North Carolina, God reached down, got a hold of his heart. Boy went into the Lord in the jail. He got saved. Now he's one of our deacons. Now he's a preacher. Now he's doing something for God. Listen, you can't explain that no other way. I think about Brother Jerry here. Stand up here, Brother Jerry. Some of them might not know Brother Jerry. See this little fella right here? Brother Jerry here. First time he come to our church, he sat right back there. He had a ponytail down his back. He just sat back there and his daughter kept trying to get him to come. And he never would come. Finally come. You say, what got a hold of him? Something bigger than me, I'll tell you that. Brother, here he's sitting up here on the front row with a Bible and a tie on. And let me see if his ponytail's gone. Ponytail's gone. Nothing personal, but a man with a ponytail. I mean, I seen one yesterday. I thought, does he think he's pretty? He sure ain't comfortable. I mean, who would want to mess that old stringy mess all the time? But I'll tell you what, brother, that's God. That's God. That's what God can do. God can change a man's heart. God, listen, God don't change a man from the outside in. God changes a man from the inside out. That's what's so wonderful. That's what's so great. Rehab tries to shape you from the outside. Think good thoughts. You can do it. Believe in yourself. All right, that's not the philosophy of Christianity. The philosophy of Christianity is that you're a hell-deserving sinner and that you come before God and repent of your sins, ask Jesus Christ to save your soul, and a miracle takes place above all other miracles. It's a great transaction. It's called being regenerated. It's called being born again. There's something happens on the inside that gives you the power and the strength to live right that you didn't have before. God's great enough to save a lost sinner. I read about a man out in San Diego, California, years ago who run a bar, a saloon. And he was wicked. And he got saved. Like Brother Jerry did, because of his daughter, I think, talking to him. He got saved. The man got saved. And they said he took all of his beer kegs and barrels and put them outside and stacked them into a great big pyramid. He said he got up on top of him and he said, I'm on top of this now. It don't control me no more. It's out of my life. I'm out of the business. I think I had a big bonfire or something, got rid of it. And he pled with sinners to break it. Their habit of sin, come to Jesus. Set it on fire for the glory of God. I've heard of people hitchhiking down the highway and get picked up by a Christian. Christian take the greatest book in the world and begin to talk to them out of that book. Like I had the privilege of doing on that airplane the other day going to New York. Tell that lady the greatest news she's ever heard, and something happened in her heart right there that changes her eternal destiny from hell to heaven. That's great, man. That's great. We ought to be thrilled to serve a God like that. It ought to be the joy of our soul. Nobody ought to have to beg us to do right, to come to church, to pray, to honor God, because that's just the tip of the iceberg, how great our God is. You don't have nothing to be ashamed of. Anyway, we're kind of out of step with this generation, Brother Danny. And on TV, they don't even recognize what you're saying as legitimate truth. And on the Maury Povich, don't even, thank God we don't agree with them. Thank God we have our sanity. You want to agree with this world? It's your business. I'm telling you, we got a book laying here this morning that's here for you as ever born. And it said there's God in heaven that created it all. And it said His Son died on the cross. And it said that you're going to die. And it said that you're going to heaven or hell. And I wouldn't gamble against that if I was you. I believe I'd take it. Show me something better. Show me something greater. Our God. The Bible said He had all the hairs on your head numbered. I saw a bumper sticker sometime ago that said, God has all the hairs on your head numbered. And in parentheses it said, and your wig too. That's right. That means He knows the cells, man, in our body. He knows exactly where you were last night, what you was doing, and who you was with, and where you went, and what you said. There's only one answer. There's only one answer. Come clean with Him today. Come clean with the God that made the world. You can't beat Him. You better just join Him. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Christians are praying. I feel like maybe, just maybe, there's a Christian in here today that you've kind of got your eyes off this great God that we serve. And maybe you just kind of lost glimpse. And it'll seem great, but it's not. God is great. And there may be that one here this morning who's never been saved. You're not saved here this morning. Maybe you're here with a friend or a relative, or maybe you just decided to get up and come to church this morning. There's no accidents with God. You're here for a reason. Ma'am, sir, why don't you let God do what God wants to do in your life? Why don't you come and get saved this morning? Would you do that? Thank God. Thank God. Father, do what ought to be done in our souls today. Lord, we know that there's no way we could even begin to proclaim just how great You are. And I know these few little feeble words that I've spoken this morning couldn't scratch the surface of how great You are. You're great enough to do anything. Lord, help us not to limit You in our minds. Save that lost sinner, that boy, girl, mom, or dad. We'll praise You and thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there others that need to come this morning? Join this one that's come. Let's sing. If you need to come, you come right now.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood
come on right now.
Was shed.
To
rid my soul.
Come on, right
on.
Greater than any of your problems, greater than any of my problems or burdens. We'll just trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. There's ever been a day when people need to learn to trust the Lord. Like I was singing a while ago, it's this day. I'm excited about our school. I'm so excited about that. It's not even funny. And I'm happy about it. Brother, if there's ever been a day we need to trust God with our kids and stuff, it's today. God's the only one who can keep them straight. And He can do it too. Amen. Don't